Chapter 11. Lieutenant Kinsta looked around his captain's office aboard the latest ship they were assigned to, the ECO heavy cruiser Repeat Offender. It was disorienting to frequently move from one ship to another, particularly as the office was supplied with a random variety of hand-me-down vessels from the home fleet. It would be nice to at least move between ships of the same class so he wouldn't have to refer to his tablet to figure out the interior layout of the ship. But no, that would be easy, and no one ever said working in the ethics and compliance office would be easy. "How are you settling in, Kinsta?" Captain Scarandum asked distractedly as he opened drawers of the desk in his newest temporary office.
"I am confident I can find my way back to the broom closet I was assigned as a cabin," Kinsta muttered.
The crews of their borrowed ships were always gracious to the incoming captain, but usually resentful of any supporting staff that transferred.
"Excellent," Scarandum said without looking at his aide. "Well, this is just unacceptable."
"What, sir?"
the lieutenant asked with a weary sigh.
"The previous occupant of this office cleared out the desk completely. Not even a half-empty bottle of Burgoge."
"Sir," Kinsta sighed. "The previous captain of the Repeat Offender is a woman. She is unlikely to have enjoyed Burgoge."
Giraptha women generally considered Burgoge to be sickeningly sweet. It was usually a men's drink.
"Yes, well," the senior officer grumbled. "She could have considered common courtesy."
"I will have a bottle delivered, sir."
Kinsta tactfully did not mention that whenever Scarandum transferred off a ship, he never thought of details like leaving a gift for the next occupant of the office. He didn't have to, because Kinsta took care of those things.
"What's wrong?"
The senior officer must have noticed his aide's glum tone of voice.
"I have..."
Kinsta took a breath, stepped into the office, and closed the door.
"Some reservations about this operation, sir."
Scarandum leaned back on the couch, but his upper body was tense.
"You didn't mention any issues when I read you into the op."
"It was overwhelming."
Kinsta had been briefed on the shocking plan soon after it was approved at the highest levels of government. Soon was also the operative word. Everyone knew they needed to complete the mission before the secret of their shocking deal with the Maxalks inevitably leaked out and ruined everything. That is why the Repeat Offender left orbit before completing resupply. Fresh food would be limited until the operation was complete. If that were the only thing Kinsta had to worry about, he would be happy.
"At the time, I simply could not believe we are doing this. Sir, in my time with ECO, we have done some severely questionable things. Actions that are morally questionable at best, and dangerous. But this..."
He shook his head, his antennas shuddering.
"We have never been involved in such high stakes."
"You can't win if you don't play," Scarandum said with a grin.
But the grin faded when he saw his aide was not amused by cliches.
"Sir, I just can't believe we would stab a potential ally in the back."
"Ally?" the captain snorted. "Humans were never going to be allies, Kinsta. At best, we might have a limited transactional relationship where our interests coincide."
"It doesn't feel right."
"The back is the best place to stab someone."
Scarandum's expression turned serious.
"Otherwise, they could stab you. Lieutenant, we handle the dirty jobs our society needs done, but doesn't want to know about. That is the whole point of having an ethics and compliance office. We have the burden of looking at the big picture, so squeamishness about pesky things like morality don't get in the way of doing the ethical thing. This operation will not only go down in history as one of ECO's greatest triumphs, it is needed by our people. Because of the humans, the galaxy is becoming an even more dangerous place. If I need to stab someone in the back to secure the future of our society, then it is my duty. The message has been sent to invite the humans to the party. We can't turn back now."
"Is this going to be a problem?"
"Can I count on you?"
Kinsta drew himself fully upright.
"Yes, sir. Many times in the past I had reservations about things you got me involved in, and they usually worked out well enough in the end."
Scarandum tilted his head.
"You're going to trust me?"
I suppose so, sir.
Good. Which reminds me, I am at the moment a bit short of funds. Could you loan... It was Kinsta's turn to cock his head.
I didn't say I am stupid, sir.
Well, Scarandum shrugged. It was worth a shot.
On our way outbound from Globacus, we stopped at a Jarapta relay station hoping for a message from the Rindaloo or Max Ulks. I didn't expect to get a yes from them before the deadline. The purpose of setting a deadline of 4 months was to give the kiddies and spiders time to verify we had crashed the wormhole networks over a broad area of the galaxy, and to give them plenty of time to consider the impact of not agreeing to our terms. Submitting to my demands would be a hard pill to swallow, especially for the prideful kiddies. If I had given them a shorter deadline, their instinctive reaction would probably be hell no, followed by something like kill humans. 4 months was long enough, I hoped, for the kiddies to contemplate their dark and lonely future if we did crash the networks across their territory. Which we couldn't actually do, but they didn't know that. Anyway, I figured a couple months would pass before we heard from either side, so it wasn't surprising that there wasn't a note addressed to me in the relay station's message queue.
Well, that's a surprise, Skippy muttered.
What? I sat up taller in the command chair. He had just told me the senior species hadn't responded.
Did you just find a hidden note you didn't see before, or...
I did, and it's for you.
I...
He held up an index finger to shush me. The note is not from either of the Apex species. It's from your old friend, Captain Scarandum.
Oof. Well, don't be so enthusiastic, he grumbled.
Why don't you like the guy?
I do like him, I insisted.
Didn't you call him Sketchy McSleazeball?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I meant that with affection.
Really? So when you told me he is a pain in the ass, you meant, listen, Skippy, I have no problem with Scarandum. He is very good at what he does.
But...
I sense a but in your tone.
He causes problems, I admitted.
It would be great if he told us what he's planning to do before he does it.
Like that's gonna happen, he chuckled.
All right. Is the message anything personal?
No, it's strictly business. He wants to meet face-to-face to arrange another transfer of ships. I assume the ships will come from their reserve fleet.
Huh. I shared a glance with Sims. That's interesting. Are the spiders still watching the sites where the Jarapta store their reserve ships?
As far as I know, yes, Skippy said.
So either Sketchy McSleazeball found another group of ships to transfer... or the beetles are no longer concerned about what the spiders think.
Skippy, do the beetles know that we, you,
I made sure to pump his ego,
crashed part of the wormhole network?
There are rumors about our involvement. The Rindaloo have not issued an official statement about the incident, that I know of. There could have been secret communications, of course. I do know the Rindaloo have advised their entire coalition to adopt a defensive posture, and that message vaguely referenced recent developments.
All right. XO, I turned to Sims. What do you think?
The Navy can always use more ships, especially after the losses at Klopeth. We should at least hear what kind of deal Scarandum is offering.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. What do the Beatles want in exchange for more ships?
We still haven't delivered on the technology transfers and upgrades we promised, Sims reminded me.
Whatever you do, Joe, Skippy interjected, I suggest you do it soon. We need to take full advantage of Ragnar Station before the kiddies or spiders realize we have use of a Max Hulk's shipyard.
What? How would they know about...
Oh my God, I thought you had our infosec nailed down.
To ensure that aliens could not learn vital secrets if they somehow hacked into a UN Navy ship, we took extraordinary precautions with our information security. Like, the location of Ragnar was a secret. Even the location of the dormant wormhole that connected to Ragnar was a secret. Ships going to and from Ragnar had to be escorted by Valkyrie or the Flying Dutchman. When leaving Ragnar, the AIs of all Navy ships and any sort of electronic data storage aboard those ships were purged of any records about Ragnar and its location. Sure, people who went to Ragnar could look at a star chart and figure out where they were in the galaxy, but we weren't overly concerned about their squishy human brains getting hacked remotely. Eventually, despite all of our precautions, the secret of Ragnar's location would get out. But that should not happen for years, maybe decades.
I do, he protested. It's not a security issue, Joe. The Maxulks, and probably also the Rindaloo, will have analyzed the Navy ships during the attack at Klopeth. The senior species are not stupid. They will know our Navy ships have been modified in ways that are not possible with Jarapha fabricators. They will know we somehow have access to a Maxulk's ship maintenance facility or the equivalent technology. Also, the Navy has been using a lot of Maxulk's missiles, and the senior species know for damn sure we didn't build those by ourselves. We had to get them from a Maxulk source, and the volume of missiles in UN Navy magazines makes it clear we have access to a significant cache of their weapons. I am sure the rotten kitties have been scratching their furry heads, trying to figure out where we got access to a fully stocked shipyard. After they complete a physical audit of existing facilities, it won't take them long to remember Ragnar. Ah, shit. I chided myself as I slapped my forehead. We should have thought of that. I should have considered what now seems obvious. Of course the enemy would notice we suddenly had warship magazines crammed full of their missiles. More importantly, damn it, Skippy should have thought of it. Was I pissed at him? Yes. Would arguing with him accomplish anything? Well, it would make me feel better, but no, arguing wouldn't do anything useful. Hey, are you saying that if the kiddies analyze fragments from the missiles our Navy expended, they could trace them back to Ragnar? Good question. There really isn't anything special about those missiles. They were pulled from the regular inventory at the time Ragnar was set up, and, I erased any serial numbers from onboard databases when I reprogrammed the things. Good. I relaxed just a bit in my chair. But oh crap, he groaned. The point is, those missiles are old, Joe. Nobody is using missiles from that era anymore. Based on the chemical composition of missile fragments, the kitties can identify the manufacturing batch of the components. It won't take them long to realize Ragnar is the only source they could have come from. It would be a hell of a journey for them, but they could just slip a note to the Rindaloo and let the spiders deal with it. Great. So, we have another problem. Fantastic. Wow. I laughed bitterly. I was worried we were running out of problems on our to-do list. Sorry, Joe, Skippy mumbled. It's not your fault. Ah, crap. Can we move Ragnar Station? What? No, I told you that. Okay, fine, but we don't need the whole station, do we? Can't we just empty the magazines, load up all the spare parts we need, and detach the fabricators? Just? Can't we just do that? OMG, you make it sound like it will be easy. Nothing the merry band of pirates do is easy, Skippy. Can it be done? What if we used all of our star carriers? Could they relocate the fabricators to Jaguar? Ugh. Please think about it, okay? Fine. I am going to regret this, but yes, he sighed. It is possible to cut the fabricators from the station proper. Cool. Then wait! Slow your roll there, numbskull. What you're talking about would be a major effort. It would take many months. Multiple flights, back and forth. The effort would consume the majority of Navy resources. That's okay. The Navy and the Legion should stand down while we wait for a response from the senior species. Any new offensive operations now would only antagonize the people we want to be cooperative. It may be okay with you. What about Admiral Zhao? I'll deal with Zhao. He's a smart guy. He will see the logic of relocating the Ragnar shipyard. I'll handle organizing the resources. You worry about putting a plan together to get the job done. Ugh. You act like this is simple. It's not. Those fabricators are big, Joe. Big and heavy. Each fab unit would need to be partially taken apart to be transported by Star Carrier and reassembled at Jaguar. That is after Star Carriers are modified to haul a single unit that massive. Plus, I guess we could use to wrap the reactors for power. That's one less item we would need to move. It would probably be best to designate a few of the badly damaged Navy ships to be hangar queens. We can remove their reactors to power fabricators and use the rest of those ships' components as spare parts to keep other ships flight-worthy. Zhao isn't going to like that. It's unavoidable, Joe. With limited resources, it is simply not practical to fully repair every battle-damaged ship.
We can replace combat losses with the second batch of ships, or from a third batch, if the ECO can deliver.
Okay, yeah, I understand. Zhao is a professional. He knows the importance of logistics.
That settles it, then. I need to meet with Skyrandom, see what he's offering. Maybe we can arrange to borrow a couple more star carriers.
We haven't returned the ones you already borrowed, Joe.
Yeah, well, let's just say we're taking them on an extended test drive.
Did Skyrandom designate a time and place to meet?
Yes. It is a rather odd place to meet in Jarapha territory, but close to their border with the Esselgin. It is also in the vicinity of several strategically important Max Hulk's wormholes.
I'm sure he has a good reason for selecting that location. I shrugged.
We will conduct a recon first anyway. And we still have to go to Klopeth first, especially now that I need to brief Zhao about Ragnar. How long will it take to get to the rendezvous site from Klopeth?
Unfortunately, we will be badly positioned to get there on time. The best route would take us through wormhole networks I can't risk screwing with. We'll have to go the long way, and that will make us late.
The Beatles can entertain themselves by wagering on when we'll arrive.
Are we done here?
I have downloaded all data from the relay station. Do you want to leave a reply for Captain Skyrandom?
Sure, tell him... I waved a hand in the air.
That we're willing to listen to his proposal, something like that.
Done, Skippy said a moment later.
Joe, given the short schedule for the rendezvous, we might arrive before our reply reaches the Jarapha.
I nodded. That was also a risk, when messages had to be carried from one relay station to another by passing starships.
Understood. Shepard, jump option Delta. Engage when ready.
Admiral Zhao was relieved to see Valkyrie return to the Klopeth system, especially with news that the battle at Globacus was pretty much over before we got there, and the fight was resolved in our favor. He was super pleased with the performance of Desron 7, of course, and he was happy to have the Flying Dutchman back. Without that stealthy platform, he had been forced to task some of his limited number of destroyers to picket duty, reducing the number available for defense. The Navy was still loading the last few damaged warships onto a star carrier, with the other star carriers having jumped away to safety in the vast empty space beyond the edge of the star system. In general, our return made Zhao happy. Not everything was sweetness and light. He was not happy that with the loss of the Chesapeake Bay at Globacus, he needed to send another assault carrier to that lonely star system. The Verds were setting up defenses, planning to stay, but the battalion of X-Force troops would be pulling their boots off the ground. We had already planned to send a star carrier to Globacus to pick up the three destroyers, so you might wonder why it was a big deal to include an assault carrier with that mission. The answer is logistics. Zhao, or his staff, had to shuffle ships around, so the star carrier going to Globacus had an assault carrier with room to accommodate a battalion, and supplies aboard to support a battalion for the flight back to Fav Jaguar.
Let's see, is that the only thing that made Zhao unhappy?
Yeah, that's about it. Now,
oops. Except for, you know, the steaming pile I dumped in his lap about us needing to move the Ragnar shipyard. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Fortunately, I had one more bit of good news. Correction, a possible bit of good news.
Did the Jarapha say what they want in exchange for another batch of ships?
Zhao looked up from his tablet after reading the summary of my report.
No, I'll find out at the meeting.
He has delivered two batches of ships already, and, I shrugged, we do need to replace combat losses.
My concern.
He set down the tablet and pinched the bridge of his nose. The guy looked tired. I know what that is like.
Is the Jarapha are offering us another batch of ships we can't use without extensive modifications in a shipyard, at the same time we need those shipyards to repair battle damage to our existing fleet and to upgrade the last batch of ships they delivered. If we have to relocate the Ragnar shipyard...
I think that's a good bet, I said, without thinking I sounded too much like a Jarapha.
I mean, Skippy believes we need to make the Ragnar relocation a top priority.
Among our other top priorities, yes?
Yes, I agreed.
Shit, we had a lot on our plates. like stopping the Jupiter cloud from freezing our home planet.
Sir, you're concerned the Beatles may insist on getting a payoff now? We will follow through on upgrading their ships in exchange for another batch of obsolete hulls?
The Jarraptha will expect us to honor our end of the bargain eventually. Additional ships won't do us any good unless we can complete modifications to make them compatible with the existing fleet. General Bishop, you should meet Captain Scorandum to hear his proposal, but I cannot commit resources under my command without careful consideration of the consequences to the overall force.
He meant the shipyards and fabricators at Ragnar and Jaguar. Technically, those assets were his to direct, not mine. The Special Mission Group had use of those assets as needed, but they didn't fall under the scope of my authority. Even though the Special Mission Group set up the shipyards at Jaguar and found and activated the one at Ragnar. It's complicated.
Yes, sir. I was okay with his conditions. It would be a jackass move for me to make an agreement that made his job more difficult.
I would like to bring prize crews to the meeting in case Scorandum springs another surprise on us and has a batch of ships ready.
He thought for a moment, then nodded.
With many of his ships needing to repair battle damage and already attached to star carriers for the flight back to Jaguar, their crews could be available for temporary duty with me.
Do you intend to take the Flying Dutchman with you?
Actually, I hadn't considered that.
I wasn't planning to, sir. Nagatha knows the opening sequence of the wormhole to Jia Yuguan. I tried to use the base's official Chinese name when speaking with Zhao.
The star carrier making the detour to Globacus might miss the wormhole opening, but the bulk of your fleet should go through before the sequence expires. Having the Jaguar and Ragnar wormholes on remote timers was a great benefit, even though the number of times the controller modules would activate a wormhole was limited. Any ships that were too late for the scheduled opening would have to wait for Valkyrie so Skippy could open the door again.
Can I assume that you will check relay stations for news from the senior species?
We will continue to do that.
It's still early, sir. Your deadline of 4 months was rather generous.
I wanted to give them time to consider the consequences of not agreeing to our terms.
Your terms, he said.
It sounded like an accusation. He was right. I owned it. The whole operation to crash wormhole networks was my initiative. I hadn't cleared it with him or with UNEF Command.
4 months also gives the enemy, both of our enemies, he included the Rindaloo on our list of opponents, time to consider and prepare for alternatives to compliance. Time to collaborate if necessary.
There is always that risk, I muttered.
The greatest risk with a long deadline is that conditions will continue to deteriorate on Earth. General, after your meeting with Scorandum, I would like you to visit Earth. The people there need to know there is hope. Tell them we have the ability to selectively shut down the wormhole network, that we are working to bring aboard allies to assist with clearing the cloud away from Earth.
Yes, sir. I was planning to do that, until we heard about the Theranan Task Force at Globacus.
You made the right call, he assured me, though we both knew that was true only if a nuclear war hadn't broken out on Earth while I was dealing with the mess at Globacus.
If your flight to Earth delays acquiring more ships from the Jarraptha, or even delays my ships from returning to Jia Yuguan, make Earth a priority, please.
I will.
One of his aides was trying to get Zhao's attention. I took that as a cue, my time was up. I needed to get going anyway. Making the scheduled rendezvous with Scorandum was going to be tight. We wouldn't have much time to recon the rendezvous site before jumping in, but I couldn't imagine that would be a problem. The Maxalts would have to be insane to tangle with us again. Playing 3-on-3 basketball in Valkyrie's gym is great exercise, and great for esprit de corps for the crew to see me being a regular guy. Maybe some people took it a bit easy on me because I am a general, and I know the crew often calls me the old man, even though I am still younger than many of them. My story is when people say old, they are referring to my time as a pirate, not my age, and I'm sticking to that story. I am still young, damn it. Except I don't always feel it. That day, I tried a pick and roll, but I was too slow and slammed into the player defending me. The player, who is a woman, and yes, that is still extra embarrassing to me even though she is a high-speed special operator and I am not. I went down and rolled, not the way I'd planned.
Ow!
I had to grit my teeth.
You okay, sir?
Major Frey held out a hand to help me up.
I think maybe I sprained my ankle,
I said as I rolled onto my butt, trying gingerly to flex that ankle. There was a momentary sharp pain. I knew that wasn't good.
What's wrong, Joe?
Skippy's voice came over the speaker in the ceiling.
Do you have a boo-boo?
I rolled my ankle, you ass.
Oh, poor Joey is hurt. Should I call for a wambulance?
No. He made me laugh in spite of being pissed off at him. Frey, help me up. Nope. I could stand on the ankle, but it hurt, and I couldn't use it to steady myself. Ah, crap. I'm out. Sorry.
Come on, Joe, Skippy sniffed. Haven't you heard that pain is weakness leaving the body?
Skippy, I'm in the army. Pain is probably early onset arthritis. Frey nodded and offered me a fist bump.
I heard that, sir.
In the passageway, limping back to my cabin, Skippy pinged me.
Hey, Joe, you should go to sick bay. Get that ankle checked out.
Nah. I stood on the other foot and rotated my sore ankle.
It's fine.
Are you sure?
It could...
I've done this before, Skippy. I know the symptoms. I'll take it easy for a couple days.
You're in a good mood.
I am. We got the Messick Lobachus sorted out. The seniors will realize soon enough they have to cut a deal with us. And... our super trustworthy friend Sketchy McSleazeball is lining up another batch of ships for us. It's all good, you know?
It could be too good, Joe.
Skippy, I resumed walking, trying not to limp. Will you stop it with the negative waves? If something goes wrong, I am blaming you.
Fine, but if no, negative waves. Got that?
Sure, Joe. I'll just think happy thoughts. That will fix everything.